Today's share in the Deir Shu Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Lamed Aleph Omud Beis. And we're in the third volume of Mishneh Berurah, and we're beginning a brand new Simen, Simen Reish Samach, which deals with Dinei Hachnosa Shabbos. This is a much different type of a Simen than the Simonim that we just had the last week or so, dealing with Hatmana and Chazara, which are much more complex. This is a fascinating, wonderful Simen that deals with how one should prepare himself for Shabbos in terms of his physical body. Before I start this Sif, however, let me just point out that I heard from one of my listeners, Yehuda Shef, I want to thank him, pointing out the other day I quoted a pasuk, and I said it was from Mishpatim. The pasuk is really from Mishalach. Talking about preparations for Shabbos, there was talking about the month, but that's a perfect introduction, and I thank him so much for picking up my error, and that's a perfect introduction for today's start. And the Mechaber tells us that there is a mitzvah lirchotz, a person has an obligation to wash himself. Now, we have an interlude here by the Ramah, who says, Hagah, this idea of washing yourself, he brings down from the Torah, is called gufo. The Ramah says, he follows the opinion of the Torah that says you should ideally wash yourself with your entire body in hot water, the imavshalo, and only if you're unable to do so, there's either not enough hot water available, or there's no time to do so, then yirchotz, then a person should wash, back to the Mechaber, panov yodo viraglov, his face, his hands, and his feet, bechamin b'erev Shabbos, with hot water on Erev Shabbos. Now, this idea that you should wash the whole body is brought down in the name of the Torah. The Mechaber tells us the basic din, however, that you only have to wash min ha-mitzvah, your face, your hands, and your feet. Now let's look at the Mishneh Berurah. The Mishneh Berurah Sifkat Nalev says the reason for this is obvious, mipnei kavod Shabbos, in order to honor the Shabbos. However, he says, when we call makom, ein zech chova gemura, this is not an absolute chova based upon the Gemara, but somebody who does fulfill this dictum over here is in fact getting a tremendous reward for this. However, if somebody is unable to do so, eino nanash ola, he doesn't receive a punishment for not doing this. Deirshu foot number one brings down, in regards to tefillah in a mikvah on Erev Shabbos, that's not mentioned at all over here. However, that is mentioned in Simon Tuf Kuf Nun Aleph in regards to Erev Shabbos Chazon, which we recently had. Kiasav, it says over there, Sha'arog Litvo Erev Shabbos, anybody who is accustomed to going to the mikvah every Erev Shabbos, he's allowed to go even on the 9 days during Erev Shabbos Chazon, although he shouldn't ideally do it in hot water over there. So there is an idea of those that have the custom of going to the mikveh every Erev Shabbos. He brings down as well from Nissan Karlit Shlita that when you go into a mikveh that is hot water, that you also fulfill this concept of Ruchitzas Gufo Bechamim, of simultaneously also washing yourself in hot water for preparations for Shabbos. The Chavetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha Dira Maskel Mitzvah says, it's mashma from the Gemara that this is for somebody even who is totally learning all the time, Shetarasu Umnaso. He is allowed to give up his learning Torah and go and take a hot bath in order to be Mekayim this idea. And he brings a Gemara of Yehuda Bar Eloi, who is certainly learning all the time, who in fact did this. And this idea is exemplified as well in Deir Shu Foot number 15. It says, that this is not a pure mitzvah, but it still is like an obligation to do this on Erev Shabbos, and it's even therefore mevatlan Torah bishul mitzvah zo. It is so important that one should even mevatel learning Torah in order to wash himself with hot water. Mishneh Berurah continues, however, Uma'od yesh lizar, one should be extremely careful, shelo yavo ayidei mitzvah serechitza l'chashash chilul Shabbos. But one should be very careful that in his zeal to do this mitzvah, wash himself with hot water, he shouldn't chas v'shalom go and be mechal Shabbos. Deirshu foot number 2 brings down, that's why we'll learn in Reish Samach Beis, Sha'at l'chadchilo yishtadl l'kar v'serechitza samach l'Shabbos, why you ideally should try to bathe as close to Shabbos as possible. That's only if it's not going to cause any chilul Shabbos. And therefore, if you're going to a bathhouse or you're taking a full bath, v'adei nochon l'hakdim v'serechitza, you can move up the time of the rechitza, you're washing yourself up in order to make sure that there's no chilul Shabbos, especially in the short winter days. And the Mishneh Berurah continues and he writes, unfortunately, to our discredit, many people aren't careful about this, especially during the short winter days. The days are short, and they're waiting around till right before it's dark, and then they go and do the bathing, and that causes them to be mechal Shabbos. And even if they finish washing up before it's Shabbos, so there's no problems with the heating or the actual bathing, gam kein mizdamin isliyado, they still could be doing yisurim on Shabbos when they dry themselves off. He may have to comb his hair, and that could be an isur Shabbos. Even after you're done with all of the bodily needs taken care of over here, you rinse out the towel, you squeeze out the towel, and that would be an issue of cleaning of mechabes on Shabbos. As we made Hashem learn over there. And anybody who's a God-fearing person should go and make sure that other people don't do this. And in this way, he'll be merit the credit that the Rabbim had by observing this mitzvah properly. And likewise, he won't, if he's not successful, be held accountable for their doing the Yisurin. As we all know, the well-known statement of Chazal, if somebody has the ability to stop other people from sinning, and he doesn't do so, nitpas b'avon anshi beisu, he's held accountable and he will be punished for their sins. Likewise, if you can protest people in the community from doing something wrong, nitpas b'avon anshi ro, if you have that much sway over other people and you don't use it, you will be held accountable. The Chavetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha, Dibra Maskel Kol Gufo, says that the Elyon Rabba is mefakbik b'din hatur. He disagrees with what the Torah said over here, that you have to wash your entire body. And he says, certainly if you don't have enough water, it's dai, it's adequate if you wash just part of yod v'raglov. Furthermore, he says, b'chamin, in Dibra Maskel b'chamin, Chavetz Chaim writes in the Bir Halacha, that means hot water. What about lukewarm water, poshrim? Yesh Lain. He's not sure if you fulfill it with lukewarm water because the Gemara discusses hot water and it's not clear what the status of this lukewarm water would be. But certainly he says, Avo Bitsonin Mevada Eliyotso Bezeh Yidei HaMitzvah. One doesn't fulfill this mitzvah in truly cold water. Mishnah Berurah of Cotton Base writes, Lirchotz, the Gamal Noshim Shach Mitzvah Ruchitzah. Women also are obligated in taking a bath with hot water, a shower on Erev Shabbos. And in the winter days, when the days are short and they may not have time to do so, they should at least fulfill the dictum of Chazal over here by washing their face and their hands. And even men, if they don't have any other time, so then they're adequate to fulfill this for further discussion. The issue for number three discusses exactly what does it mean by the hands and the feet. Does it go up to the elbows? Does it go just to the wrist? Or by the feet, does it go up to the knees? I ain't shum in the issue for number three. The issue for number four brings down the Elyon Rabba that we just quoted from the Mishnah Berurah, and he says he's not sure where this mitzvah comes by that you have to wash your entire body. He says that you don't find it in the Shas. The Shas just says, Panav Yodav Viraglav. And therefore, especially if somebody doesn't have time or the ability to wash his entire body in hot water, he certainly should be mekayim the ikur mitzvah over here of ruchitzas pano v'yodav. We've already talked in the past whether raglav applies today. We don't walk barefoot so much, so the ikur mitzvah is really pano v'yodav in that order. And that can be seen in the Shari Tshuva by the bracketed asterisk on the very top, where he brings down the Maksik Bracha in the name of the Arizal, Shemin Hago Lirchotz Tchila Pana. First you wash your face, V'achakach Yodav, then your hands, V'achakach Raglog, Kiseda Omer Davkal. It specifically is stated. And he says, not like some people who wash their hands first and then they wash their face. Mr. Bruce Hifkot and Gimel writes, Kol Gufo, for your entire body, Hayna Bechamim, you should wash your entire body in hot water. The issue for number five goes through how do we apply this on Erev Shabbos Chazon, which of course is the 9 days, when it's not permitted to wash yourself normally with hot water. I ain't shum for further details. Sivkot and Dala, the Mishnah Berurah says, nowadays, v'cha'ez ain't no agim lizarbiz there. We're not so careful to wash our feet, necessarily. The Avshar Davka bin the Noseim, in those days, in those places, shayrugil and lelech yachef, they would go barefoot, v'darko lirchotz b'mayim b'pnei ha'avok v'offer, and they would wash their feet much more frequently because of the dust and the dirt. U'masha ain't kibbin Noseim, but nowadays, well, we wear shoes all the time, so they don't get as dirty. U'ka'ein zeh kosav v'pima godim l'el b'simim dala b'yeshal avrom Sivkot and Aleph. And this was already discussed when we went through the details of washing in the morning, and therefore, Ayin Shom, you can look there for that further discussion, but that's why some are not so makbid over here to say Raglov, at least Panav the Yodav, certainly yes, and of course, if you can wash your entire body, call a kavod. Sivkot, hey, you should do this on Erev Shabbos. V'udimuchol zeh b'Erev Yontif, and the same thing applies for all of these laws in regards to Erev Yontif. But if you do this on Thursday, it's not recognizable that you're doing this to cover Shabbos, and therefore it's preferable to do this on Friday if there is time to do it on Friday. This would apply as well, according to Dishavut number 7, according to Nissan Karl Shlita, Thursday night. It's not recognizable, even though it's in Halach, it's already Friday, but it's not Samach L'Shabbos, it's not recognizable. But Friday morning already, it is recognizable that you're doing it for Shabbos, and therefore that would be acceptable. But the Mishnah Berurah does say, Ela im kein e'efshar lo lirchotz b'erev Shabbos, if you can't do this on Friday, as kol kama demikra l'Shabbos tvei mali, then do it as close as you can to Shabbos, v'chein l'inyan l'stapa. The same thing applies to haircutting and shaving. You should try to do it erev Shabbos, but if you don't have time, then as close to Shabbos as you can will also fulfill the mitzvah to the best way possible. The Mechaber continues and he writes, "Mitzvah lochov harosh." It's a mitzvah as well to wash your hair, shampoo your hair, and as well ulegaleya chatziparnayim, and to cut your nails. We'll see both the hands and the feet nails be erev Shabbos on every erev Shabbos. Mishbur explains in Sivkot and Vav, "Ubeyom chamishi makbid mishlo litlon." However, some are makbid not to specifically cut the nails on Thursday. Mipnei shatziparnayim maschilin lachzor v'litzmoch biyom shlishi legiluchan, because the nails tend to start growing on the third day after they've been cut. Therefore, Shabbos would be the third day after they're cut. If you cut them on Thursday being day one, Friday being day two, Shabbos being day three. And the Mishnah Berurah writes, "Im kein ein ze tikkun kavod Shabbos shechozer lotzeis." It's not proper that they start coming back on Shabbos. So it's a lack of kavod for Shabbos that they're starting to grow on Shabbos. That's the reason that the Mishnah Berurah gives. The Dirsha foot number 10, however, brings down an alternate reason, brought down in the name of Achronim, in the name of the El Yerabah. Im yikso, so some biyom chamish, if you were to cut them on Thursday, hare yaschilu ligdol b'Shabbos, they'll start to grow on Shabbos, and it's as if you're causing them to grow on Shabbos, and the Shevet HaLevi's Zatzal brings down, sheyesh b'zeh mishum srach meloch b'Shabbos, it's a little bit like you're doing a meloch of causing them to grow on Shabbos. Two similar but slightly different reasons. Dishah foot number 8 brings down from Rav Nissen Karlovich Shlita that if your fingernails are growing long during the week and they're disturbing you in terms of there's dirt getting underneath them and you can't do Netilas Adayim properly, of course you can cut them during the week as well. And certainly if there's any reason, Dishah foot number 9 brings down, for example, if Rosh Chodesh is Erev Shabbos and some have the minhag, or if it's Yontif Erev Shabbos, so you can't cut them on Erev Shabbos, some have the minhag not to cut their nails on Rosh Chodesh, so then the Shari Tshuva brings down in Reish Nun Aleph, Shiocha Likotzes on Biyom Hay, then you certainly can cut them on Hay, it's not an Issa to cut them on Thursday. Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, Yesh Shekosu Shelo Lokot Sipornei HaYadayim Baraglayim Biyom Echad. Some have the custom, they don't cut their fingernails and their toenails on the same day. The reason brought down in Dirsha foot number 11 is Mishum HaSakana. This is brought down by the Shulchan Aruch HaRab. It's dangerous on some Kabbalistic level. Likewise, some have the custom, the Ein Lokotz Ela B'Erev Shabbos or B'Erev Yontif. Some specifically try to cut them only on Erev Shabbos and only on Erev Yontif, unless, of course, as we pointed out, you need to do it during the weekday because it grew so fast or something else came up, so then you're allowed to. V'anochon, the Mishnah Berurah says, the best thing is Shiokotz Min HaRaglayim B'Yom Chamishi. The Mishnah Berurah says, the ideal way is to cut your toenails on Thursday, or Min HaYadayim, and your fingernails B'Yom Shishi, on Friday. And this is brought down in the name of the Magen Avraham. The reason why Dirsha foot number 12 brings down that you should cut your fingernails on Friday and your toenails on Thursday, why aren't you concerned as much with the toenails growing now on Shabbos? So he says, Tziparnei HaYadayim Heim Gluyos V'Niros. They're more visible to people, and therefore the two concerns that we brought down in Dirsha foot number 10 as to why you shouldn't cut your fingernails on Thursday don't apply as much to the toenails. Dirsha foot number 11 also brings down, of course, a woman that's going to the mikveh needs to cut her nails, so whatever day she cuts her nails for the mikveh is, of course, the appropriate day. Women also cut their fingernails and their toenails on the same day to go to prepare for the mikvah. So the Ketzos HaShulchan brings down, how come there's no sakana over here? He says, because they are therefore fulfilling Shomer Mitzvah Lo Yeda Dovara. They're doing the mitzvah, going to the mikvah, so nothing bad will happen to them in their performance of the mitzvah. That's why they're allowed to cut their fingernails and their toenails on the same day. Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, Isav HaGemara, the Gemara tells us, Hasarev Tziparnayim Chosid, the ideal way to get rid of your cut fingernails and toenails, the wasted nails, is to go and burn them. A person who does so is called a Chosid. If you, quote, just bury them, Kovron, you're a Tzaddik. It's not as high a level as a Chosid, but it's still a wonderful thing to be called a Tzaddik. The issue foot number 14 brings down. The reasoning behind this is sreifa adifa al kvura, burning it is better than burying it. So Rashi explains, because if you bury something, there's always the possibility it can get uncovered, and if somebody were to step on it, it could be a sakana. For example, there is a statement that says that if a pregnant woman steps on the nails, chas v'shalom, could lead to a miscarriage. So we're very careful with the nails that are cut, to dispose of the nail properly. Brings down a fascinating custom from the Chazon Ish. He would collect the fingernails that he cut all year long and he would burn them with the chametz on Erev Pesach. Rav Yashar Zatzal would go and collect them in a piece of paper and he would burn them every Erev Shabbos. What about throwing them in the toilet, washing them down the toilet? So Rav Nissen Karo Lishlita says that that's called kivura, which is, again, a big milo. You're called a tzaddik, but it's not called sreifa. It's not called burning it. Finally, Dear Shufut number 13 also brings down from the Mati Ephraim that if a person forgot to cut his toenails on Thursday, so it's acceptable and okay to cut both his toenails and his fingernails on Friday, the covered Shabbos. Back to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says a tzaddik is a person who buries them, but zorkun, if you just dispose of them, throw them in the street, drop them wherever you are, then you're called a rasha. Shema tavor alein ishim uberes usapel, as I mentioned before, because rachmona l'san, if a pregnant woman miscarries, if she steps on them, and you would be the cause of that. V'lachein, therefore, bebeis ha-medrash de lo shlichi noshe, in a beis medrash where women don't frequent, oh, bebeis ha-merchah shosri rach l'archatzis ha-noshim l'chud, or if it's a male bathhouse, only men go there, mutal lizrok, technically there's nothing wrong with disposing of it just by cutting them and letting them fall where they do. However, gam isa shom b'gemara, it says over there, de'ein b'koch l'hazik rach b'duchten n'file. He tells us an additional din that the fingernails or the toenails can only really cause damage if they're left in the place where they fall off. If you collected them, after that, and then throw them someplace, even if somebody were to step on them there, less lombard. That doesn't cause any damage. The cause of the Prisha, Simon Reshman Aleph. Finally, the Prisha says one additional din. If you cut your nails in a house where women frequent and may go, so and a little bit did fall out and didn't go into the garbage or where you're throwing it away, what should you do? Go and sweep that area, and go move the fingernail droppings to a different place in that area. And then, even if a pregnant woman were to step on them, she won't, Rachman al-Islam, miscarry. He brings down Ve'al Yerabba Kosa. The Yerabba writes, the Efshar didavko shishlichon chutz lecheder, heve shinu mokom. Maybe this isn't true. They just sweep it a little bit from one place to another, but you have to actually move it to another room in order to be called the shinoi in this regard. And therefore, it's preferable, obviously, to be very careful with disposing of the nails that they don't get left where they are cut and fall on the floor. Then he says, one should ideally wash his hands after he cuts his fingernails and his toenails. As we've already learned previously at the very beginning of Shulchan Aruch in Simen Dalet. The issue for number 16 brings down the reasoning as explained over there. Mishum ruach ra, there's a certain bad ruach, bad spirit somehow that resides on a person after he cuts his nails. Therefore, one should hurry up and quickly wash his hands after he cuts his nails. He brings down over here, it's dai over here, benitilas yadayim pamachas. You don't have to do two or three times, it's adequate to do it one time. This chi of the Ktsosa Shulchan says is Bainim not Talziporni Yodav, Bainim not Talziporni Ragla. This is both after cutting your hand, your fingernails, or your toenails. He says, what happens if somebody picks at his fingernails and pulls off a little bit? Does that also require Netilas Yadayim? So the Ktsos HaShulchan says, yeah, it does. Tzorech Lito. And this is also the opinion of the Chazon Ish. However, he writes, Im Kotzas Bishinav Rak Tzipor Nachas, if you just bite off one fingernail with your mouth, then you don't have to wash your hands. What about when you're cutting your nails and somebody makes a bracha, so he brings down from the Shevet HaLevi that doesn't forbid you from answering Amen. Yesh l'hakel b'zev elanus Amen. A person could, in fact, answer Amen over here. Finally, the Ramah concludes over here, and he says one additional line. Hagav v'mayus sa'aros roshu gedolus. If you have a lot of hair, you need a haircut. Mitzvah l'gachan. There's also a mitzvah as well. It brings down from the Gemara in Perkei l'magalchen. There's a mitzvah, go take a haircut on Erev Shabbos as well. The Mishnah Berurah Sifkan Zayin says, this is true b'tar, with a razor, or b'misraim, or with scissors. And the reasoning is, v'tam, k'dei shelo yichnos l'shabbos k'shu menuvo. You shouldn't go into Shabbos looking disheveled. If your hair needs a haircut, you should get it before Shabbos, not after Shabbos. Then he concludes and he says, Yesh mekomo she'ein megalchen vein notlin tzipornayim b'rosh chodesh. There are communities, the custom is that they don't take a haircut and they don't cut their nails on Rosh Chodesh. Afilu chol b'yom erev Shabbos kodesh, as we pointed out already, even if it's on a Friday. Ki chein tzivor Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassid, this is based upon a practice that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid told his children to uphold. The one exception to this rule is brought down in Dishavut number 17, that many people have the custom, even if Rosh Chodesh Iyar, which is during the Sfira time, falls out on erev Shabbos, and even those that have the custom to take a haircut during the Sfira, immediately starting from Pesach, they would be allowed to go take a haircut over here when Rosh Chodesh Iyar falls out on Shabbos or on Erev Shabbos. That will conclude today's shiur.